Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, this is ABO Poddammit 020, the midway point, and it's me, the often imitated, never duplicated, love to be calculated, king of butterbing sensation of innovation, the leader of the Republic Nation, Mikey Broke. Here with me today is a man who Slackbox wants to know what more we want from him, and let me echo this, Slackbox. We want Gary to make the playoffs for more than 1 year in a row. It's Gary Half Came Up Altman. Gary, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. What's cooking, dude?
Not much. As I told you on Slack last night, I encourage you to no longer and to do what you know most of us do here and schedule our trips up to New York, you know, around the ABL season, not during the ABL season. And I think you'll be in a lot better mood.
Oh, much. I'm away. I'm following. I make my lineups. I get into this minimally. Make sure that I'm up to date with everything, and then you know. While we're out scouting talent, the team decides, you know what, we can go and fuck off. I'm like,
now,
what the hell's going on here?
If I can make a recommendation, and I know Gary, you know, I'm gonna play with you for a little bit here. You haven't been in the playoffs consistently year in and year out. So during the season, we don't scout. We scout in the off season, at least in SoCal. You gotta keep
well,
the boys in line,
there.
Obviously. Yeah, obviously your boys can't, you know, they've never – how do I put this delicately? When dad's away, the boys will play? I don't know. South Carolina obviously not in too big of a free fall. Yeah, I mean, obviously South Carolina is not in too big of a free fall. They're still technically in the playoffs as of now, and it's really a four-team race in that division still.
Everybody slumps at some point during the year. This is my turn. So, you know what? It is what it is.
And really, it's
you know,
just the month of July.
Jacksonville might, leapfrog me this sim because they got Cabo for four and then OKC. And I have first place San Francisco and I believe second place Georgia. That being said, I'm not it's not favorable that I hang on with my half-game lead over Jacksonville and that we end up in the fourth spot. However, if we get the pitching we're supposed to get, we'll be fine. We can easily turn get a 5-2 sim here.
Well, it was rumored around the ABL universe that Tom O'Day may have been available, not confirmed, rumored, and now it looks like he's pitching the best of anyone on your staff when I was looking last night. His bags may not be packed quite yet here in South Carolina.
No, he's not going anywhere right now. The guy's red hot.
He's red hot.
Well, and Judy went 4-1 with a 3.97 ERA. This month, he's 2-1 with a 2.45 ERA. And,
so
and the kicker is
Cy Young O'Day.
Yeah, the kicker is he got no run support in May. He was 0-4 with a WHIP of 1.14 in May.
He's trying to prove to all the scouts out there that just because you're 35, 36 doesn't mean you're done. O'Day definitely leading the South Carolina staff during this tumultuous last couple weeks for you that I've seen. He's went 3-1 in his starts. You won three of his four starts. Speaking of which, though, we are at the halfway point here in the Adult Baseball League in the 2029 season. We have some movers and we have some shakers. Quebec still frantically holding on, doing his best. He's 6.5 games up. Remember, he was, 12.5 games up at the beginning of the season. He's at least cut to half. Does he hold on? Now, Georgia through Mile High, they're about 8.5 games back of Quebec. KC sitting in 6 is 2 games out of the third spot. So that division is ridiculous right now. I mean, obviously, the division is ridiculous. Do you see anything changing? I mean, maybe in the next couple of days we can get a Maybe at the end of the weekend we get an updated predictions contest from you, Gary, if you have time. But, I mean, Quebec's still in first place.
Yeah, I try to get that out at the end of the month, you know, at the beginning of the month. Yeah. So as soon as we hit August, we'll have an updated one.
Yeah, in-game month, everybody, by the way. In-game month, because we want an updated one
every week.
Yeah, every week. Come on, Gary, you're slacking. No, I mean, all kidding aside, the Sparky-Anderson division is something I did want to touch on first, because we talked about offline, online, about the division being tumultuous, and that's exactly what it's been. Quebec's held on. It's not like he's – with everyone in the division kind of playing ho-hum, he hasn't really surged. He's kind of still faltered back a little bit. He's 6.5 up. No one's really surging. So I'm kind of coming off my stance of him not making the playoffs. I'm going to change that. All right, whatever. I'm going to walk it back a little bit. I'm not saying for sure he's going to make the playoffs, but given the state of his division being just – I mean, is what it is, he probably still holds on. Do you have, with all the other teams being just separated by two or three games, are you still leaning where you were leaning earlier? I mean, Eureka is the one that surprised me. Eureka's not this bad.
Here's what I see in that division. Quebec has been, since April, they went 22-5. They got off to that ridiculous start, that record-setting start. And after that, they are 500, 14-15 in May, June, 14-13, and then 8-8 so far in July. So they are a 500 team, but a 500 team that gets a head start of plus 17 is going to make the playoffs. You take a look at the other teams, Georgia, Eureka, Mile High in Portland, and even Kansas City. You got five teams fighting for two spots separated by four games. Quebec might fall out of the first spot, but they're not falling out of the third spot. They're not going to fall 8.5 to allow Eureka to pass them. Georgia might pass them, but if Quebec falls, they're going to fall no worse than third. So you got two spots. You got two spots for five teams, and that's Georgia, Eureka, Mile High, Portland, and Kansas City. Oklahoma City is wallowing and with a 333 win percentage, and we're going to check out the expanded standings here in a minute and say they are in the running with Bloomington Blazers. Sorry, Jesse, for the number one overall draft pick, and we got four teams fighting it out: Omaha, Chicago. They're a half a game difference between the two of them, and actually not really. Yeah, they're a half a game difference. 34-65 and 34-64. And then on the other side, you got Bloomington 33-65 and Oklahoma. So you're looking at, for the number one overall pick, a one game difference pretty much at this point between all of those four teams.
excuse me. The one team in the division, we mentioned it quite a bit, that's surprising is, you know, Eureka. I don't understand. His roster is out of a top five or six roster in the entire league, per my scout, per my opinion, per what he's done the last 2 years on the buildup. And it's crazy, dude. He's scored 403 runs, and he's given up 427. So he's 14th in runs scored, but he's only third in runs allowed. His defensive efficiency, which is always first or second on your side with San Francisco, is 12th. I don't know what's going on in Eureka. Clearly, Irvin poisoned the water, I'm sure. But, I mean, all kidding aside, he has really good statistics, pitching wise. I don't know why his offense is this bad. He has lots of good hitters,
Imagine what he would be. Imagine what he would be without Shannon Kraft, who he picked up for pretty much a song, you know, for minor league specs.
Shannon Kraft. Yeah. I mean, Galindo. I mean, he's
leading
his
team in all three categories.
He is, but I'm saying he has a lot of good offensive players, but I don't know why they're not performing whatsoever. Obviously, Chin isn't really he has Chin playing third base, listed as a left fielder. He's all over the place.
When you take a look at his team is built around pitching. He's got the fifth-ranked starting pitching with Paul Barrett.
True.
Samita
second best,
and
actually.
Navarez, fifth best. I don't know where you're looking.
What are you looking at? I'm looking at
the team. I'm looking at the team ranking based on scouting. Go to meet the team.
Oh, gotcha. I got you.
Now, offensively, you got Shannon Kraft, who's sixth at the catcher position. You got Martin Whitney at the seventh position. And then you got Dennis Main in the 11th, which is almost, it's a little better than halfway. After that, he's got five positions that just aren't there yet. Now, one of them is Don Buller, the guy, the IFA, who spent a week in AAA, I think, on a rehab assignment. And he got off to that really hot start. And then he's cooled off somewhat with a 240 average, 293 on base. But he's still.
I totally forgot about Buller. He's only projected a half point WAR. I mean, he's still super young, dude. He's 24. He's probably not fully developed. His development is probably a lot, you know, based on his defense. What I'm looking at in terms of his statistics and his stats.
He came from the crap league.
Yeah, right. But I mean, like,
I don't know where that league is, but that's where he came from. They don't even keep stats in that league.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like, it's probably in Cuba somewhere under like a lock and key, I'm assuming, where they don't pass out statistics.
No, Havana would have known all about that shit.
That's what I'm saying. Havana's the one not letting the information get out. either way.
Then again, you look Eureka. I'm going to say Eureka misses the playoffs, and this is why. They made the playoffs in 2026. They missed in 2027. They made it in 2028. It's an odd year. They're gonna miss.
I'm gonna say Eureka's gonna make the LCS, but that's just my opinion. It's all close. It's all relative. It doesn't matter. There's two games separating.
And we could go back.
Playoff spot.
In 2025 they missed, but 2024 they made it. In the last odd year,
24, I think.
No, hang on a minute.
Go ahead.
They made the playoffs in 24, 26, 28. They missed in 25 and 27. The last odd year they made the playoffs was 2023, and they won the whole kit and caboodle. So if Eureka gets there, I might have to pick Eureka to win the World Series.
Well, let's hope that does not happen, because I want to win the World Series.
You're not going to win the World Series. So you can't win the World Series. You can't.
Sorry?
You cannot win the World Series. It's not going to happen.
Okay. Okay, that's fine.
It's not.
Maybe not. It's okay. I have five. No big deal.
Yeah, but that's where you'll stay.
That's where I'll stay.
But you're not going to win the World Series.
Well, I would hope not. Bob would break down the ABL tradition, whereas everyone wins back to back.
There you go. That's where I was going. I'm surprised it took you so long.
I'm just still half asleep. I had a long night. No, my daughter was sick last night. Anyway,
you were going to say you got some cookie.
Yeah, I wish.
I forgot you're married. That shit don't happen anymore.
No. Well, not with my wife's new schedule.
I'll get shit for that on Slack. By the way, I'm married. I still get it. Okay.
You are just doing the Lord's work here and speaking the truth, Gary. Like I said, we are at the halfway point. We can go over some trades, but I would like to quickly just touch on the Atterbury division to say Havana is winning that division despite his little 1 week.
I don't even have to look at
four.
The division. Havana's going to win.
Well, I mean, that
you know what? I'll
even
go out on a limb and say Omaha. I'll even say Omaha is going to come in last place.
Not only is Havana going to win, Brooklyn's going to finish second, and I don't see New York dropping out of the third. I think that division is done, 1-3. I think it's over. My division, on the other hand, there is, what is that, four games separating
that
second to sixth or something like that?
Division is
what division?
Crazy. The Atterbury division. You got Havana.
It's just Havana and Brooklyn.
You got, we're pretty much at the halfway point, a little past the halfway point. We played 98 games. We're almost two-thirds of the way through, actually.
500 games,
you got
yeah.
Brooklyn 10 games back. For kicks and giggles, New York Mafia is 20 games back. It is a 10-game difference.
Right.
Then you got Minnesota at 25 back, or 24.5. Then you got Columbus, who's fallen pretty fast. They're 28 back with Manhattan Beach. The only real race is who finishes fifth here. Minnesota's not going to move up to five games. I don't see them moving back to five games. And it's just between Columbus and Manhattan on who ends up going 5-6.
Manhattan would have made the playoffs this year, but he's been without Hats the entire season, Contreras the entire season, Regan for most of the season. Like, his big guys have been out for most of the year. So Manhattan Beach at 42-57, I would have probably looked at to try to contend, even just being the nine games back in third place. But
you
I'm not
a fan of looking at injuries. You know what? Injuries are there. Everybody goes through them, and if you don't go through them, if you don't go through injuries, you're going to have a superior year. That being said, when you have injuries, it just means you don't have the depth. It is what it is. But if you want to take Graham, Hatch, Rotsley, and Hanaberry, who are the four guys he has out on a 60-day DL, he's not even making up 15 games to get back to 500. I just don't see it. So
have you looked at it?
You know what?
I'm not debating injuries being they are what they are. Everyone has them. I'm simply stating that while they are what they are, and you can't work around them, they do tell the story of a season, in my opinion. Manhattan Beach would have made the playoffs this year, not just from who's on there now,
okay,
but if you go look at his
Let's
history.
Let's take a look at Graham. Let's take a look at Graham. He played a month's worth of games, 34 games, two homers,
ahead,
12
Gary.
RBIs. He hit .229.
Okay.
Graham is a non-issue.
Okay.
Rotsley hasn't been there all year, but last year, 14 homers, .274 average. He's an average outfielder. And last year, he had a .2 war. The year before, he had a 1.9 war. You know what? Give him. I don't agree with it. You know what? Injuries are injuries.
That's fine.
Shit happens. I don't think they make or break a season for a team that's 15 games under 500.
Okay, like I said,
that's basically
we can defer
10 games.
Yeah, we can defer.
Yeah, you don't like injuries. I get it.
That's irrelevant. Every single game I play, be it Madden or NBA, this I have them off because I don't enjoy them. That doesn't mean I can't work around them, and that doesn't mean I can't still perform with them. It's just not my preference of play. And there's a lot of people, which I find funny, who and this is my little 2-minute rant, that say if you have injuries, you play 1 through 25 and you never make any changes, which is completely not true because I'm in a lot of leagues that don't have injuries, and I still use my entire 40-man roster. So that argument's kind of silly to me that if you have injuries, it's going to be the same 25 players all year, because that's really not the case. If you know what you're doing and you're managing your franchise 1 to 40, you know,
yeah,
then
you
might
have
1 to 90, you're still
managing.
It's
going to be 1 to 25. It should still be your 1 to 25 if you don't have injuries.
But see,
there's no reason to make a move.
I disagree, because you have players underperforming. You have guys you can call up in series. You need more pitchers versus hitters. Some guys you need, you know, it just depends, dude. Every league is different, but I've been in multiple leagues where their injury setting is way, way, way lower than ABL, a couple where they're off, and I still have used all my organizational assets versus just 1 through 25. So that's just me. I guess you could
Listen,
go
I
on autopilot.
Listen, I got no problem with that, but it's you know what? If I had a preference – there's a reason I picked the 25 guys, the 26 guys that are up on my major league roster. The
agree.
Because they're better than the number 27 guy. Now, there are situations where you have a tactical advantage by calling somebody up. Like this last sim, I called up I had a couple starters I could have called up. I added a guy to my 40-man roster, Chris Riddle. And he ended up pitching against Maple. He's a left-handed starter. Maple is like 10 games under 500 against lefties. And he pitched great. He pitched absolutely great. He went 6 1/3, seven hits, two runs. And he ended up having, he lost the game 2-1.
Not as
so I got I got exactly what I wanted out of him. He kept me in the game. He gave up two runs. Two runs to Maple. Maple's got a good offense, obviously.
Chris Enigma, if you look at
first
the trade block. Chris Enigma on the trade block coming up soon, by the way.
He was 2.5. He was 2.5 stars in AAA. I bring him up to the ABL, and he drops to 2 stars, which is not too bad. He's fully developed. He's 27 years old, and he's a left-handed starting pitcher. He was perfect.
27-1.
Yeah, happy birthday goes out to Chris Riddle.
Yes, he's an enigma, that one.
You've got that right. So I ended up shuffling the rotation a little bit to go with an extra lefty there. Still did not work, but whatever.
I was only making a point that I disagree in terms of injuries overall. I do believe they shape seasons, in my opinion. I do believe they're very important, and I see no problem talking about them because they're injuries. They are what they are. They're part of the league's history, and that's just my opinion.
I just don't look at it as any big deal. It's one of those, whatever.
I hear you. Well, right, you can always deal around it. I mean, it is what it is. There's a lot of injuries going around right now in the ABL regardless.
Listen, if you got the depth, you're going to be a good team. You're going to get around it.
It still doesn't mean that you're complete or that you give yourself the best chance to win. It's just you deal with it. You deal with what you got to deal with. And it's funny because, I don't know, I used to do this. I don't do it anymore. I used to chart injuries across the league, and I just kind of stopped because why? But I don't know, man, like, I really feel like we should turn off injuries completely. And I'm just kidding right here. That's the shoe dropping and everyone just spitting out their coffee, if you will.
I'm off the hook for the marriage comment.
All kidding aside, it's a total preference of play. Because like I said, just because someone doesn't like injuries, I don't like injuries, doesn't mean I can't maneuver around them. It's just my preference.
I don't think they matter. You know what?
Yeah, you don't think that matters. You don't.
Can you get around it?
You don't.
Listen, we
so
have
you don't
enough depth in this thing to dance around it.
Right. No, it's fine. It's totally fine. I'm not. It's irrelevant, really. Like you said, everyone should have. All the good teams have depth. All the bad teams don't, and that's why there's separation, in my opinion.
Separates those teams.
Correct. Now, just really quick, since we went through two divisions, touching on my division, SoCal will probably win the division, obviously. And then Seattle through San Diego is like four and a half games apart, it looks like. Really, San Diego technically is, what, 3-4 out of the playoffs? I guess he could make the playoffs. Duke City's 2.5 out. Really, I can't really pick anyone in my division yet who's a lockdown playoff team because no one likes to play consistently in my division. They've been playing Rodeo, Seattle, and Las Vegas for the most part, have been in the 2 and 3 spots for the most of the season. I would expect that to finish that way. Las Vegas 1-5 after his big trades, by the way.
Las Vegas and you, I think, are the only locks. And then that comes down to Seattle, Dallas, and Duke for that last spot. The sentimental favorite is probably Dallas because they haven't been there in a while. Duke City's been there.
San Diego was the sentimental favorite. He really hasn't been there a while.
Yeah, no, he hasn't. And he's only 4 out in the loss column behind Vegas, 5 behind Seattle. I see Seattle and Dallas battling out for the last spot. I think Duke is – this is one
Duke
of those years.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those years that it's a clunker. And for whatever reason, things aren't clicking the way they're supposed to. This season is a grind for Duke City. He got off to that horrific start, and I'm not seeing him rebound. You know what? He went 10-17 in April, put himself behind the eight ball, but not necessarily out of it. In May, he rebounds, going 16-13, but then in June, goes 12-15 and gives those three games right back.
You know,
July,
scary, though,
he's 11-5. 88 ball. If he continues playing that the rest of the way, he's got a shot. But look who he's playing. He's got 3 against SoCal, 3 against Manhattan, and 1 against Seattle. He's got 3, I'm not going to say easy games, but out of the 7 that are left on the docket, the 3 against you are going to be hard, obviously. And Seattle is the wild card game, so to speak, because that's a team in front of him he has to beat.
And then to turn it around.
Not only that he has to beat. Yeah, not only that he has to beat, he's got to jump him. So he needs Seattle here.
Well, yeah,
he needs to win that.
He needs to win that series, and he really needs to go 2-1 at least versus Manhattan Beach and probably sweep. He also has Vegas and San Francisco right after Seattle. Then he has San Diego, Dallas, who's been better, Columbus, who should be, you know, 2-1. He should take 2 out of 3 from Columbus. And then he has Las Vegas again, and then you, and then Brooklyn, and then Jacksonville. So So he's you know, it's and here's the funniest thing about all of it, Gary. He has the pitching to still make a run. I mean, I'm probably going to agree with you. I don't think he's going to get in, but he still has the top flight starting pitching to still have a chance. That's the only reason he is where he is.
Oh, that's the only reason he's giving him a chance. But that's the only and his pitching is there. His starter ERA is fourth. Runs against, fifth.
He had five
his
pitchers
offense
in his bullpen last
His offense is putrid.
Well, yeah, he has Rook hitting fifth, who's hitting .226. I mean, he doesn't really have a good offense this season.
And he needed a guy like Kogawa. Kogawa is a great fit for him.
For the regular
Kogawa
season.
Was on the market. Yeah, he was on the market for a couple different teams. I had a shot at him. I don't know what it would have taken to get him, but
you're difficult to deal with, Gary.
Yeah, whatever. You take a look at where he stands in Duke's lineup. Well, he's a team leader in home runs. He's a team leader. He would be the team leader in RBIs. And Duke's ballpark, this is where it's going to go. He's not going to get that production from these guys offensively. Duke's ballpark is very, very, very pitcher friendly. I'm going to say this. Duke is going to run into problems with his bullpen. He's got a pitcher's park, and his bullpen is ranked 13th.
He has five pitchers in his bullpen last him.
Yeah, well, that's going to change. He's made some trades.
Yeah.
So there's guys that are probably sitting DFA. They have to come into. That have to come into the thing. No, there's not. Interesting. I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt there, Troy. Come on, you got to work with me here. Shit. But
Troy will be okay.
His bullpen ranked 13th in a pitcher's park is unacceptable under the best of circumstances. His offense ranked 12th to 13, 11 to 13. Not so bad when you take a look at his ballpark. They got to do a little bit more to get runs home.
I would also, Gary, say you're doing a little bit of a disservice in terms of, yeah, his ballpark helps for his starting pitcher, but at least for two guys, and I'm willing to do Thompson too, at least for two or three guys, especially the top two guys. No, right. He has three guys who need one. He needs three guys for three guys who need two runs to win. And by the way, I find it funny that again, and this is just picking at Troy. He said, "I don't want Ross Allen to be a workhorse," and yet his nickname is now workhorse. So that's amazing.
But then you take a look at this. You got to figure with his pitching at home, he's going to be good. But his offense is struggling scoring runs, but he's seven games over .500 at home. You figure once he gets on the road, the hitters are going to take off, and yet they don't. He's eight games under .500 on the road. This team is just a team this year that, for whatever reason, it's not working.
Well, right, he's not getting the easy run this year. You know, he's 11th in bat. I mean, dude, if you're hitting 260 in ABL, like, that's not good. He's hitting 260 in ABL, so he's 11th. He's 11th and on base at .320.
But his ballpark.
Hitting no home run.
But hang on.
No, I know.
His ballpark average is .926.
But that's not the end all be all, Gary. If you have players who are offensively proficient, it wouldn't be as big of a problem. Like his ballpark isn't built for home runs. But it doesn't matter if
it's
you have
not built for
hitters.
Average
he has and that's it. Right. No, I'm not disagreeing with you, dude. I'm just saying.
He doesn't have a team.
No, I know. He hasn't got one kid ahead. He's only two power hitters. So he doesn't have a team built for his park right now. I don't think. And again, this is
offensively,
just
offensively, I don't think anybody
up,
has
I'm
a
sure,
team
but,
built for that park.
Yeah.
No, offensively, I don't think anybody has a team for that park. However, you know what? You take a look at Allen and Ruiz. They should be better than five games over .500 at 18 and 13 combined.
No, but
and
I mean,
Ruiz
like,
at a .426 ERA is highly inflated. He's not having a great year.
Like, I know Troy's
going to jump
on me for ripping him and for – like,
no,
like I
don't
he's going to jump on my shit for ripping him and shit, but, like, Like, his gap is huge, right? Right, well, we're not. Okay, you're right. We're not. We're just.
I don't think we are.
His ballpark is ridiculous for doubles and triples. Yet he only has one guy per my scout with a 55 or above gap rating, and that's Garrett Rook. And he's slow-ish. So
yeah, but Garrett Rook has 24 doubles and 2 triples.
I'm saying he's the one that is able to do it. That's what I'm saying. He's on pace for 39. Yeah. I'm agreeing with you. He's his only gap hitter in a park that's a gap park. He doesn't have a lot of players who are like he should have in that park with those numbers. He should have at least what I would do. I would have multiple guys with 70 plus gap, which they are easy to find because it's the most undervalued rating in OOTP, in my humble opinion. And I would have like he should be doubling people to death. You know what I mean? And his team is just built like a contact team to me, and that's not his ballpark.
Yeah, but I saw somewhere that the gap number is strictly out of the hits you get, X percent are going to be extra base hits. So it's not
okay,
like, well, he's got a gap of 100 or 70, and he's going to end up ringing up 50 doubles out of in a part time role. That's not every hit he's getting is going to be an extra base hit.
No, I know, I agree, but here's where I disagree a little bit, and I'm going to go to one of my players. Pittman has 100 contact for me. He has 55 gap power. He's on pace for 23 doubles. He's never had above. He's always been about 20-25 doubles. Now you think with his max speed, his max base running, he would get more doubles just based on his speed and his base running and his. You know what I mean? You figure. But he doesn't. I'm not sure if that number correlates like that. In my opinion, Gary, it's all speculative. I get it. It's just my opinion. I'm not sure. Anyways, Duke City has really fucking good pitching, and his bullpen is better than they pitched. So we'll see. Probably not, but who knows?
I don't think
his
bullpen
is
isn't better than what he's pitched. His bullpen is ranked 13. 5.1 ERA.
His players are better than how they perform. Let me rephrase it.
Much.
Yeah.
And I would make the argument that Ruiz is the biggest disappointment out of the bunch. In
Ruiz,
that ballpark,
so?
he shouldn't have a 4.26 ERA.
Well, he shouldn't be just a 94 FIP, which is basically just slightly below league average. I mean, above league average. He's above league average. Let me rephrase, above league average. But it's only 94.
But he's a little worse than he was 2 years ago, which was 2027 when he went a 3.48 ERA, 12-7 in 23 starts. He came up halfway through the season.
Right.
His strikeouts are up. His walks are down. His homers are up over that. And the homers are probably the thing. Maybe I'm comparing him to how he was last year at 20-6 and a 3.53. I just expected more from Ruiz. Especially with Ruiz bouncing in and out of the top 20 pitchers in the league. I'm sorry, a 9-6 with a 4.26 ERA in a pitcher's park does not say elite to me. It doesn't scream elite.
But he is elite.
And I think he is, but not this year. And I don't know why. Maybe he's pitched more games on the road.
Let me ask you a question.
I can check that.
Troy is a good case study for this because Troy he makes a lot of trades midseason, and he rarely, just using Troy as an example because we're on Troy, he rarely keeps the same team for the most part that he starts the season with. I mean, he has the same core players, but he trades a lot of players. Are we undervaluing as people who play OOTP? Are we undervaluing the chemistry factor of midseason deals? Or do you think we're overvaluing, or do you think I'm reading too much into this right now?
Honestly, I have no idea, and it's not so much midseason deals in as much as it is quote unquote stability within an organization. I thought I was making too many moves. I slowed down
and
let people play.
you know what? The first year I got Yame, he hit 270, hit like 70 points below his career average. You know what? Let me slow down a bit. Let me just let it play out and see what happens. He bounced back to have a great year last year, and he's having a great year this year. Is there something to it? I don't know. In real life, there might be where, you know, does the player adjust midseason to a trade? But you know what? We could say that, and we could bounce back and forth. Ruiz has been there.
He has been there. And he's dominated when he's been there. And he's dominated
he's been
in the playoffs.
Better. Ruiz has been better on the road than he is at home. And that just shouldn't be. Because there are way more pitcher parks on the road.
Well, here's the thing, though. Duke doesn't have a good defense, like, whatsoever. If you look at his efficiency ratings and efficiency versus war, ZNR, whatever. Excuse me. I rephrase. Duke has a good defense.
Defensive efficiency is third.
No, you're right. I know. No, you're right. I misspoke. His Ruiz is weird. Now
can you say that again? Can you say that again?
Yeah, Ruiz is weird? Sure, Ruiz is
no,
weird.
No, not that part. No, not that part. Go back a little bit further.
Okay, you guys can play the tape back here. Ruiz is interesting, though, now that we're
no,
looking at
it. No, the part where you said I'm right. Just give it to me one more time. Roll tape. We got to talk to the engineer. Roll tape here.
You're right, Gary. You're right. Okay. Anyways, Ruiz is interesting because his BABIP versus lefties is at 400 this season. That is insane. Versus lefties only. And he's historically pitched very good versus lefties. And again, that's not his fault. But it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah,
now that
listen. We're also not putting all of this, you know, Duke's misery this year on
Ruiz.
On Ruiz's
shoulder.
Absolutely.
It's all on Ruiz.
All right, want to put it on?
He has a killer instinct, buddy. He has a killer instinct.
That is?
So, you know what? You know what's funny? I'm looking at this right now, and this doesn't make sense to me. So, his career ERA, and damn it, this is just went off track. His career ERA versus right-handed pitchers is 382. That's Ruiz. His career ERA versus left-handed pitchers is 344. However, his career BABIP versus lefties is 340. Excuse me, 350, and his career BABIP versus righties is 286. That makes zero sense to me. Those numbers seem backwards, especially given his K per nine is 7 versus righties and it's like 12 versus lefties, 10 versus lefties. That's weird.
He's a left-handed pitcher.
So basically, right, but his BABIP versus lefties shouldn't be higher, should it? Or are those more like, I don't know, whatever. Basically, Duke.
Yeah, his BABIP should be better.
TLDR.
Because striking out, well, no, is it? Yeah, balls in play. No. If you're striking out more people.
But whenever lefties get hit against them, they're falling.
If I'm not striking out people to the point of left-handed people, then yeah, my BABIP, whatever side I strike out more on, I'm going to have a higher BABIP.
Correct. Because
no,
when the balls are in play, they're
listen,
falling.
Listen,
whatever.
Bottom line, it's all Ruiz's fault, and he should be traded back to South Carolina. Moving on.
I expected more for him. Now I'm guessing you would. Never mind. This will be a conversation for off topic. Anyways, last division, the Billy Martin division.
We're always off topic.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, it's why we love the game because we start digging into stats. But the last division, the Billy Martin division. San Francisco, after all of Maple's trades, has overtaken him in first place by 2.5 games. Maple is 2.5 back. South Carolina is 5 back. Jacksonville is 5.5 back, and we'll cut it off there. South Carolina, obviously, being a half game up, he's lost one less game than Jacksonville. Where do we start? San Francisco, we are not surprised. We thought at the beginning of the season that while he didn't have the best players in the division, he probably had the best 1 through 26, I think. At the end of the day, though,
he's got great
yeah,
pitching,
solid.
And he's got middle-of-the-road hitting. He's much like Jacksonville.
But his run differential is only 8.
San Francisco is like Jacksonville. San Francisco is second in runs scored, third in starters, third in bullpen. And then you got Jacksonville that is first in runs against, starters, ERA, bullpen. Their runs scored, Jacksonville is 448 in eighth place with a ninth place average. And seventh place and eighth place, 4 runs scored and batting average for San Francisco. So based on those rankings, and I'm not really sure how, but it's a 5.5 game difference. Maple, who's always been
hitter friendly and starting to get some pitching. This year has no pitching, and he's the complete opposite of what San Francisco is.
How much do you think of that is Maple fucking losing his park so much, having such a crazy park? Obviously, his pitching is better than ninth. His pitching is better than ninth bullpen, whatever, obviously. Obviously. But how much do you think that is to do with
Zhang?
Right. Well, and he got Umerah Abdul-Quetis, who's a starting pitcher as well, who was wildly mismanaged in Vegas in terms of his role identification, in my opinion. He's a big lefty, dude. I was a 100-mile-per-hour lefty with huge ground ball rates, 60-60-60, 380-70-plus pitches. I was surprised that he was let go. He had a great start on Mile High, went 5 2/3, gave up only 2 runs. I was surprised he got him more than Zhang, because I thought Quetis was going to be slotted in when Zhang was gone, but wasn't. He was included as well. So now he's got to throw out 3 lefties. He still has Bootlin hurt. Maple, interesting times. Let's start with you in Jacksonville. Who makes the playoffs?
I'm going to say me, but I might be a little biased.
No, you should. I mean, based on your run scored and runs against and run differential, I agree. You probably should. You have the better players overall.
He scores some runs, but he gives up a lot less than I do.
Right.
Defense is much better, so he's not giving up the quote-unquote free runs, the unearned runs. And that victimized O'Day earlier in the season. Earlier in the season, right. He ended up like, you know, he went 0-4 in, oh, what was it? 0-4 in April, and he had a 1.05 whip. I'm sorry, 1.14 whip going 0-4 with a 2.93 ERA. I mean, that's sick. How do you not win games with that kind of whip? It just doesn't make sense. So he had a crappy April. He had a crappy start to the season. He went 0-6, but afterwards he's 6-2. He's red hot right now. So O'Day is good.
He's a good team.
The pitching is there. At least I think it's there. It could be better. The bullpen should be better. But the bullpen, you know, we had some injuries and no big deal. But we get Max Grant back in a sim as he's on a rehab assignment. I can get rid of some of these other guys that are just not doing the job. And we got tons of pieces
enigma,
of
right?
players who want to come up. Say again?
Not the Enigma.
Riddle, I don't know what I'm doing with him. He might be on the trade market.
He's so your we'll Jacob Engel from a couple of years for me ago, where he just comes up out of nowhere and dominates, and you're like, son of a bitch, what am I supposed to do with him now? I wasn't expecting him to dominate so quickly, and now I have a decision to make. Now that I've sidetracked us again, that is an ABL reference, okay, guys? It's not completely sidetracking. Anyways, Jacksonville, though, man, you know, I'll take the other point of view, even though I agree to disagree with you. He's first in runs against, first in starters ERA, first in bullpens, first in defensive efficiency. And this is after letting everybody take all his players every single year. You know, when letting all his players go to the – maybe he knows more than we thought.
All things being equal, Jacksonville is not far from making noise in this division. It's just a matter of which of the three teams is going to fall out. You take a look at his minor league system. He's got an over 600 winning percentage in all three of his minor league teams. And AAA is the only one that might not win 100 games, falling somewhere in that 98 range, that 97 range. So as much as he lets people go in Rule 5, as much
he knows what he's doing.
It seems like he doesn't pay attention. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Right.
So Jersey seems to have slipped a little bit. Cabo is – there's rumors swirling out of Cabo that Lowe is on the market.
Again, by the way.
But here's a question for you. San Francisco Maple, who wins the division? Or South Carolina, 5-pack?
Okay, well, if you're giving me San Francisco or Maple, I'm taking San Francisco.
Maybe.
It just depends.
You took too long. We got about 15 seconds left. You got 12 seconds left. Wrap it up.
All right, I'm changing it to Mabel, if only because I'm looking at San Francisco's
lineup.
Wrap
it up.
Features. I am.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great day. Talk to you later.
I think your timer's off.